Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, people of God. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for each and every one of you tonight. Amen. Just want to give a shout out real quick to all of the women of God and the men of God that came to celebrate with me WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Listen, people of God, if you weren't there, you missed something. Amen. The power of God was in this place. People were healed. People were delivered. Minds were restored. Chains were broken off of people. You know, the testimonies are coming in of what God has done. And I'm not just saying that because it sounds good. And I do understand we have a lot of people out here who are saying, oh, you should have been there. It was off the chain. God showed up. Ooh, we just shouted until our ankles hurt. Listen, I'm not about promoting a bunch of mess, but I am about promoting, amen, the kingdom of God and this cloud of the Most High, the glory cloud. Not too many places God resides at today, but the glory cloud of God showed up in this house, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries. And not only that, but he has remained in this place. Amen. His presence has rested. The kabod, the weight of his glory has rested and continues to rest in this house. Amen. And I am so thankful for it. So I give a shout out to my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. I give a shout out to Pastor Joyce Jones. Amen. And Bishop Sylvester Jones. I give a big God bless you to Bishop and First Lady Rashonda Bryant Jones is the one who spoke, amen, and her husband came to support her, amen, and he blessed us as well, amen, and then the Lord allowed me to conclude the message on Sunday evening. We had people coming from all over, as far as Ohio, amen, as far as the farthest parts of Florida, past Sabrine, and I mean, people of God were coming, and the house was filled, amen, every night, because people had a hunger, and they came expecting, amen, from the Lord, and that's what I want. I just want God to get the glory. I'm not about getting the glory, amen. We have enough glory hoggers as it is. I just want God to get the glory. And his people, and I know I'm not by myself, there are people of God, his remnant, amen, is also seeking the same thing. We need to see the kingdom of God. We need to see his glory manifested in the earth. We need to see lives changed, amen. We need to see chains broken. We need to see the devil cast out, amen, and taking our territory back that belongs rightfully to us, amen. And I'm just glad to be in his presence. I'm glad to be a part of the remnant. Amen. I'm glad that God has his hand up on me. Okay. Let me just say that. I'm just glad to be chosen, glad to be in the number. Amen. Because there was a time, amen, that I was not walking with God. There was a time I was doing my own thing. There was a time I was that carnal Christian, amen, and we could shout and talk in tongues all day long, but there was no power in my life. But thanks be to God who causes us to triumph. Thank him for keeping his hand upon me. Thank him for having intercessors and prayer warriors praying for me when I didn't even feel like praying for myself or even living, amen, the holy lifestyle or even living a Christ-centered lifestyle, amen. I'm just glad that he loved me, amen, and that he loves each and every one of you as well. I just send blessings out to every speaker that was here. I send blessings. I speak and decree blessings over their lives, over their ministries, over their marriages, over their finances. Amen. I continue to speak blessings that they will stay the path of righteousness and truth, that they will not veer to the left or to the right, that God will continue to keep teach their hands to war, that he will cover them in every area. Amen. That no hurt, harm, or danger shall come nigh them. Amen. And that they realize and recognize that they have the anointing and the power of God resting upon them. And I'm asking God for a greater of his presence, greater of his glory and his power to rest up on them. Amen. So you should have been there. And for those of you who wanted to be there but you missed it, go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Click on the media tab and you can see every night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night as well. Amen. About what God was doing and saying, amen, to his people. Amen. The theme was a call back to holiness. Amen. And that's pretty much the theme that God has given me, and that continues to be my constant purpose. Amen. My constant drive is to call people back to him. Amen. And part of calling them back to him is calling them back to the lifestyle, to the mandate, to the standard, amen, that he originally predestined from us, from his word. Amen. Glory to God. So go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Click on there. Go to the media tab. Click on it. You can see all of the conference right there from start to finish. Amen. Also, for those of you who want to see past, amen, messages, you can also, as you're there on the website, you can go and see every message that we have live. Amen. Hear what thus saith the Lord, being delivered through my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, as well as myself. And just to also let you know that on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. That's Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. and Thursday nights at 7 p.m. That's where you'll find me, Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. Glory to God. And then we also have our live worship experiences every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Amen. So for those of you who are not able to make it to the Brevard County area, that's where you can listen and hear and participate, amen, right in the comforts of your own home or right wherever you may be at that moment. And for those of you who are in the Brevard County area, I want to send a personal invite to you to join us here for those live worship experiences, 9:30 a.m. every Saturday, 8:30 a.m. every Sunday. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, we are located at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Once again, that's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, 956 Cocoa, North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Amen. Sending the personal invite to you. If you're looking for a church home or you're looking to see and know where the presence of God is, if you're looking for deliverance, healing, amen, this is the place where you want to be. God is here. Amen. And I don't just say that just to be saying that, but God is here. His spirit rests with us, and we thank him and praise him for it. Amen. Now, we're also asking, please, that you would become a vision partner with this ministry. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. As many of you know, we do have ministries that are in Africa, that are in Pakistan, different parts of the world, amen, and they need our financial support as well as our prayers, amen. They too have a work to to do. And we want to be able to help support them in that work that God has ordained for them to do. We are 501c3, amen, affiliated. So go to our page, hit the donate button, leave what you want and where you would like it to go, whether it's Africa, amen, or whether it's Pakistan or different parts of India that we do have there. Let us know where you want it to go. Please put your name so that we can send you a receipt so that when the IRS comes and you want to claim that, you can do that. Amen. Glory to God. And finally, just want to give you some upcoming events that we have this coming, and actually 2 weeks from now, we have October 31st and November 1st. We're having our first singles conference, amen, successfully single. So you definitely want to join us there. That's 7 p.m. on the 30th of October, 31st of October, and the 1st of November. Amen. And again, that's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. That's Christ the Redemptive Ministries. And then we also have some other, please join me for the WOPD Fellowship. Amen. That's Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship. Third weekend, Women of Power, Women of Purpose, Women of Destiny. Amen. We are having different men and women of God that comes forth. Amen. Just because it says women does not mean it's just for women. Amen. The Word of God is for everyone. Amen. The Word of God is not sexist like we like to make it, but the Word of God is for everyone. So I invite you two men of God to come and join us, women of God. We're always joining you at your programs. Amen. So we just open up our arms to you as well. Amen. We want you to join us. Join me, Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship, Women of Power, Women of Purpose, Women of Destiny. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And finally, coming up in January 29th through February 1st, we're having our youth conference, Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Listen, the young people are already excited. They can't wait. They've been putting everything in place. And I don't know about you, but I want to be where the young people are at. Amen. I want to be where they're on fire. I want to be where the fire is. Amen. I want to definitely hear what the Word of God has to say. Amen. And while we as the leaders are pouring into this next generation, we can definitely need to tap in and see, amen, have our words, have our lessons been taking root. Amen. You have to test and try. Amen. Every teacher teaches, but there comes a point in time where you have to test to see what they have learned. So you want to join us there. That is January, amen, 29th, amen, through February 1st. Amen. Young Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Glory to God. Amen. Those are the announcements, people of God. Amen. Let us govern ourselves accordingly. Amen. And now let us pray, and then let us get into this word on tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now we thank you. I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. You are the worthy one to be praised. God, there is nobody like you. We've searched all over. We've tried all kind of things, but Lord, we know that in you is the perfect place to be, in your will. God, we just bless your holy name in this house. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing of God that is resting. And thank you for your people of God, Father, that are assigned to this broadcast. I thank you for each and every one that has listened. Father, I pray even now that you would breathe upon them the fresh revelation, the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Breathe upon them now in the name of Jesus. Begin to shift hearts and minds today, God, in Jesus' name. I'm asking that you would even begin to move mightily in every situation that they've had laid up before you, God. Give someone strength on tonight, amen, to endure. Give them strength on tonight to fight the good fight of faith, to hold on to your promises and your word while they're waiting to see the victory. Help them to recognize that they are the victors and not the victims, that greater are you that is in them than he that is in the world. God, we thank you right now for what you're doing. We thank you for your power. Ha, glory to God. We thank you now for your healing power, God, that you are moving on behalf of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for restoration. We thank you for restoring your people, Father. Oh, we give your name all praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, people of God, if you would turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 4. Amen. One more time. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. I want to come out of the first. Let's start at the first verse, shall we? Still talking about holiness, amen. And as I said before at the opening of this broadcast, that is pretty much going to be, amen, my motto. That is my assignment, to call people back to God, amen. We have gone every other place. We have done a whole lot of stuff, amen. excuse me. But when I was ministering on Sunday, amen, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, re-raise the standard. Amen. Re-raise the standard. In other words, there's a standard of living. There's a holiness lifestyle standard, a standard of purification and sanctification that we as the children of God are commanded to live. We are commanded to be separated and come out from among them. We are called to be different from those that are in the world. But the problem is, amen, is that God's standard, original standard, has never changed. We changed it. Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. I'm going to say that one again for those of you who did not hear that. God never changed the standard. We did. We changed his standard. We changed the standard of what we think holiness and sanctification really is. We think, many people are teaching and preaching that holiness is, you know, it's something, you know, that was for back then, amen, and even when it was back then, it was too much then. And now that we are on the other side, now that we have been educated, now that God has opened the doors of our understanding and allowed us to come into a better understanding of his word and of his truth, amen, then we don't have to do all of what we used to do. We didn't know any better. So we, you know, as they say, when you know better, you do better. Well, I'm here to challenge that, man or woman of God. Now, I'm not challenging anybody's salvation. I'm not saying if you're saved or if you're not, only you and Jesus know the truth. But what I am saying is that when I look at you, there should be something about you that says that I am his child. That means it needs to be something different about you that says kingdom kid, that says kingdom minded, that says kingdom chosen. Something about you should be different. And for many of us, we can say today that when we look at people that say they are anointed and appointed and are the child of the Most High King, we see the anointing, but then when the anointing lifts, we see the real person, and we are still not seeing a life that is separated, a life that is sanctified, a life that is set apart, a life that is holy. The anointing just doesn't cover it all, baby. It doesn't cover everything. We are required. We are mandated to live a life that's holy. See, we can't get this thing confused, and I think we have we've been conflicted so that people have assumed or have made the assumption that the anointing is the cover all. As long as the anointing is on me, as long as I'm still shaking like Samuel, as long as when I lift my hand, the atmosphere changes, as long as when I open up my mouth, things begin to move and shake, demons still tremble at me, then I must be okay. I must be all right. But here we have, God called us, that even when the anointing is not up on you, you are still called to be set apart unto him. When he chose you, you said yes to him, And now you must live a life that is purposely for him and him alone. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. And that means daily we must die to the fleshly desires, our fleshly wills, our fleshly emotions. Amen. We must daily die to it. We must daily nail the sucker called the flesh to the cross. Amen. And we must will ourselves. Help me, Holy Ghost, today to preach this, please. We must daily submit our will, submit our mind, submit our thoughts to only him, and allow him to work through us. It is a walk. It is a process. Amen? There will be days you're not going to be all rocking on all cylinders. Amen? There are going to be days that people will get on the last, very last nerve that you have. There are going to be times that you fall. You weren't doing good that day. Amen? But even at that, we have a mediator, which is Christ. We have the choice of repentance. Amen. You don't hear people talk about repentance hardly no more. We say we're sorry, or we say I apologize, but we don't have no means to change what we're doing. Amen. Sorry has just become a word that we use for like a slight, oop, I stepped on your foot. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But true godly sorrow means I am convicted in my spirit about something that the Holy Spirit is not pleased with. Amen. Or I've done something to you and I realize, amen, that it was the wrong thing. And I come to you and I repent. I'm sorrowful, amen, of what I've done. And then after I'm sorrowful, then I seek to not go that way again. I seek to turn completely around and go a different path. But for many of us, we say sorry and we're still going down the same pathway that we continued down when we first started. So here we have in 1 Thessalonians a plea for purity. A plea for purity. I'm reading out of the King James Version right now, and I'm going to read chapter 4 once again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at the first verse and reading to the eighth verse. Amen. Says this, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, for this is the will of God. Listen to this now. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. Listen, and the word of the Lord is blessed. Now, I already hear some of you in the spirit. Listen, prophetess, I'm not in no sexual immorality relationship, amen. I'm married, or I've already locked that part down. I got that part together. I've been saved for a little bit. You know, I'm okay. But listen, I'm just not here to just talk. It's more sin than just sexual immorality, okay? Let's get that straight first. It's more sin in the world than just sexual immorality, amen. We got other things that we need to worry about. How about the spirit of religion? How about the things that we can't see? Because here's the thing. With sexual immorality, you can stop doing that, and that's one thing you got locked down. But what about fear? What about doubt? What about unbelief? What about jealousy? What about envy? What about backbiting, huh? What about the things we can't see? What about the evil thoughts? What about things that you do secretly behind closed doors? As they say, living a saved life in the public, but a defeated life behind the closed doors. What about that? This is what he's talking about. We're just not here to talk about sexual immorality. I want you to get that out of your mind. I'm here to talk about the whole situation. There are things, people of God, there are issues and challenges that we are dealing with on a daily basis that God is not pleased with, that he's been coming at us and asking us very kindly, loving us very gently, and saying, listen, you got to get that together. I need you to really get that together. I need you to drop that. I need you to let that go. But we still make reasons. We still try to justify why we're doing what we're doing, because just this time, you know, but this time, you know, I wouldn't have said that, but this time, if she wouldn't have got, if he wouldn't have said right here, you know, but this one moment right here of weakness, listen, when do we have enough of saying just this time and recognize that it is a stronghold, recognize that the enemy has a foothold in our life and that there is there's areas in us that are not pleasing unto God. There's areas in us where the enemy has I like to call them the gray areas. There's a gray area that is in each and every one of us that we have to address. And if you just turn on the news, or if you tune your ear into the spirit realm, you recognize that the earth, amen, is groaning and moaning like never before. He is sooner to come than we even expect, and time is running out. And whatever time that you and I both have left, we need to make it our business to get ourselves together, do whatever we can, and get on the job of being the kingdom generals, the kingdom soldiers that God has called us to be, and complete whatever that assignment that the master has placed on you to do. I don't know about you, but I ask God to give me spiritual insight, hindsight, and foresight. Commanded my spiritual ears to be open, tuning my ear to his voice. Amen. There's too many voices out there that we have been listening to, and we have gotten off of the pathway of listening to the voice of God. We have placed, for many of us, too much weight on other people's voices instead of putting our weight and trust in his voice. Amen. And yes, love your pastors to death if they're true men and women of God. Love your leaders to death if they're true men and women of God. But even with that, each and every leader should be pointing you back to the master, back to Jesus Christ. Amen. If you can't hear from him, you got nothing. Then the enemy can come and disguise his voice, amen, and make himself look like what they say, the angel of light. And he will come and lead you down any kind of pathway. And because you do not know his voice, know his leading, know his methods, I'm talking about Christ, amen, then he will lead you astray any which way he wants you to go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Here it says, my brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, gird yourself up, strengthen yourself, continue to do the work that you were originally called to do. Don't sway to the left, to the right, amen, but stay the course, stay the path, complete your assignment. It's also saying, people of God, that if you are saved in Christ Jesus, God is a moving God. His spirit moves. The winds of the spirit blow and they move. God is always moving. If we see you 5, 10, 15 years later and you are still stuck in the same place, huh, that you were stuck in when we last saw you, remember I said, God is a moving God. Somewhere there was a disconnect in the spirit. And if you haven't moved, you disconnected from the spirit. I know you didn't want to hear that because you're so holy and you speak in tongues and you shout every Sunday. But if you are in the same place, mentally, emotionally, spiritually in the same place, I can be stuck in a pit, but that doesn't mean my mindset is in the pit. I'm not talking about a physical location. I'm talking about spiritually. Where are you? Where are you? You can be in the roughest, darkest place, but you still have the peace of God on the inside of you. And you can be in the darkest place, and God can still be giving you revelation and dreams, amen, and giving you messages in the midnight hour. I know he'll do it because he did it for me. He can do it. But we cannot succumb, amen, to our surroundings. And for many of us, the enemy has allowed us to adapt ourselves. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He's allowed us to adapt ourselves to our surroundings. And we have set up shop in those low places. We have built up houses. Amen. We have started businesses. We have started calling people to where we are. Amen. Instead of finding out that that place was only for a brief moment. Amen. And in that brief, hard place, amen, my relationship grew stronger. My prayer life grew stronger. I began to look in the mirror and get rid of some things that were not pleasing unto him. I began to strengthen my relationship with him. And even though I may have not physically moved, I have spiritually moved. That you should abound more and more. In other words, when people see you, you should be constantly striving and growing, amen, in the Holy Spirit, in his revelation, in his power, in his anointing, getting closer to Christ than ever before. We should not still see the same you. You should still not have the same bad attitude that you had 2 years ago. You should still not be one that always is flippant at the mouth. And you're still there 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. He said, just as you received, I'm still in the Bible, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Here it is. Philippians 1:27 says this, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, listen to this, or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So, in other words, God has placed, the Father has placed many of us in spiritual homes, being led by men and women, mature men and women of God, amen, who have taught us how to walk circumspect to please the Lord. Now, our conduct needs to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Here is where many people fall short, because they confuse their anointed self to cover the conduct. But when the anointing lifts, you see who they really are, and it's not pretty. It's not anointed, it's foul, it's stinking, it's full of flesh. But for some, we excuse, so we make excuses for, well, you know, he's working on me. My God, you just, he's working on me. When is it going to come at a point in time, amen, when he's done working on that one issue? Because listen, people of God, we've got more than one issue to be dealing with. This is prophetess talking. I can deal with you when I come, I see you. You may have an issue, amen, and then we minister to you. God deals with you on that. You overcome that with the power, with the blood of the Lamb, the word of God, and his testimony. You go through the blood. You're going all through that. You go through your process. I can deal with you better than when I come back. At least it's a different issue you're working on. But most of the time, what we end up seeing is the same issue and the same excuses why we're staying right here, and because we actually like what we're doing. And, well, God understands. No, he doesn't understand. And especially in this time that we're in now, he is removing the candlestick off of people's lives like nothing. Amen. Those he's, some of them he's moving because it's their time. Amen. He's called them home. Welcome in thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And there's others because they refuse to accept him. They refuse to walk with him. They refuse to live a holy life. They refuse to repent and change. He's just removing the candlestick, making way for those who are coming. They've already started, who are coming, who have gone through the process, who have sanctified themselves, who are not wavered or shaken by the riches, and they don't want the glory, they don't want the fame, they just want God to be pleased with their life. And then there's others of us, and let me talk to you too. Don't think, do not think because you're allowing that spirit of fear. I'm going to call it like it is. It's nothing but fear and disobedience and untrust in God. Do not sit here and think for one moment, people of God, that God is going to wait on you. The calling and the anointing is on you. Many people have prophesied in your life. God himself has even ministered to you on a personal one-on-one basis. And you still make excuses, amen, to live that. Listen, get the devil cast out of your mind. Get the devil cast out of your spirit. Get them cast out. Get delivered so that you can get on your job and fulfill your mission. Amen, because you're going to have to give an account for not fulfilling that mission. You wasted enough time. The enemy got you going around in circles following a carrot that you cannot and will not catch. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Get delivered. We all had to go there. Get delivered. Get set free. Stay delivered. Get boldness. Get back on your post and fight the fight of faith. Grab everybody you can. Kick the devil's kingdom in and down. Take God's people back. Restore them back and complete your work. But don't think for one minute, I'm just waiting on them. No, you just tell it like it is. I'm not trying to do nothing. Just tell it like it is. You're not trying to do nothing. Don't get mad when that anointing lifts up off of you and he puts it on somebody else and they take off like fire. That's why you're miserable. That's why you're unsettled in your spirit. Amen. That's why you can't be happy for nobody else because you know what you're supposed to be doing and you refuse to do it. That's why you're critical and judgmental. Every time you go somewhere else, well, yeah, it should have been like this. It should have been like that. Well, if this was a little bit better, because he gave you the assignment to do and you refuse to move in the assignment. Therefore, don't get upset because somebody else has taken the idea that God has given you and is now producing. Not until. And don't think he's going to sit there and keep trying to woo you back. There comes a point in time when God says, okay, don't pray another prayer. I'm done. It's over. And for some reason, the enemy has tricked us and made us believe that God's going to wait on us. He's not going to wait on us. He didn't wait on Satan. When he said enough, he cast him out and one third of heaven with it, didn't blink an eye and kept moving. We really need to get a revelation that God is a sovereign God. He loves you dearly. Yes, he does. But guess what? And I'm going to say it like Creflo Dollar said. He loves you so much, he will open the gates of hell and walk you right in there. Read the whole Bible, not just the portions that you like. We should be growing. Our conduct, integrity is important, people of God, in today's Christendom. People are not integral anymore. They'll lie right in your face and tell you, I'll be there, and have no intention on even remembering your name. You know I'm telling the truth. How many people have, I'll call you, I'll email you, I'll let you know, I'll be right there. They never show up, but they make sure that they show up at the at other people's conventions and functions who they think that their names are great. And they're quick to send you an invitation, want you to show up at theirs, but they couldn't find their way to you. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Our conduct must be worthy. We must be integral. We must be honest. Amen. We must go the extra mile. Even when folks get on our nerves, even when people hurt us, even when, amen, you know you're ready to just like light them on fire. You still have a responsibility to conduct yourself worthy. Because all it takes is that one time for you to flip, trip, cuss out, go crazy, stab somebody, whatever the case is. We all know, we all have different tempers. Amen. It just takes one moment. And while we're doing that, and we feel good in our flesh, but it just takes one person to see that, someone who's not saved, to see that situation happen. And you begin to jump up there and like, I'm preaching at this engagement, and I promise you, they'll be sitting right there looking at you with the side eye. How many of us have met people that know our names, and we've never seen these people before? Heard us minister, heard us preach, heard us pray, heard us, you know, do different things, whatever God has called us to, that he's graced you to do. They've seen us in that arena, and they're like, I know you. And you know good and well, you've never heard of them, seen them, don't know nothing about them, but they know you. That's why we must always be worthy of the gospel of Christ, whether people see us or they don't, whether the pastor sees you or he doesn't. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, for this is the will of God. What is his will? Oh, Lord, help us. What is God's will? What is his will? I hear someone say, well, prophetess, what is his will for my life? I really don't know his will for my life. Let me help you. I'm not even addressing the calling on your life right now. I'm just saying his ultimate will for all of us, from every apostle, bishop, pastor, teacher, evangelist, amen, every leader, every administrator, all the gifts, all the way down, from the top down. The will of God for our life is this, Romans 12 and 2. And do not be conformed. Don't be shaped. Help me, Holy Ghost, to preach this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and perfect will of God. I really want to look that up in the Message Bible. Whew, thank you. Here we go. Message Bible, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says this. It's a good one too. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. You can't do it on your own. That's the first thing. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, there's just not your church life. I give him my church life every Tuesday or Friday, Saturday, maybe on Sunday, definitely. And when I'm at revival, no. The word says every area. We don't compartmentalize God, which a lot of us try to do. Well, I got this part of my life right here, so I'm making sure I'm right here on that at that time, and then everything else is mine. Mm-mm. Not so, child of King. He said, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And that is one of the main issues with many in the body of Christ, is that they have become too well adjusted, amen, to their culture. And they like fitting into it without even thinking. They don't want to see themselves as being separate and coming out from amongst them and being sanctified, amen, and making and living a lifestyle that is holy unto him. No, they want to be right there in the middle of it. Don't challenge me. Don't change me. Amen. Don't ask me for anything. I've given you my 10% of my time. Amen. Maybe give you a little extra depending on if it's a revival or a convocation or two. But don't ask me for no more. He said, don't become so adjusted. Don't fall in love with this life on earth. Amen. That you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. See, when your mind changes, then everything else changes. When you change your mind about a thing, then everything you do responds to that change. Other than that, we're just going through the motions. We're giving lip service. But we haven't made up in our mind to make a change. Every last one of us, when you got sick and tired of something, when you were tired of dealing with an issue, a circumstance, a person, whatever the situation, a job, when you got tired of it, sick and tired of it, you made a change to get rid of it. You changed addresses, you changed phone numbers, you changed, many of us changed schools, we changed cars, we changed jobs, anything to get away from that thing that we got tired of, that situation that wore us out, that made us weary, that got on our last nerves. Some of us change marriages, okay, but I'm not even going to go there. But you got tired. And you moved. And you made the change. Fix your attention on God, you'll change from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. I guarantee that God has already given many of us what to do. He's given you dreams. He's given you visions. He's given you messages. He's given you words, prophetic utterances, the word out of the Bible. He's given you what to do. He's put desires in your heart. Amen. But it's up to us that when he speaks those things, that we need to pray about it and seek his face in it. What is the next move, God? And then begin to walk it out in faith. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. And the only way that we become mature in him is that we go through process. The only way we become mature is in him is that we begin to separate ourselves from the way this lifestyle, the world lifestyle, the way people think, how you respond, how you used to do things, how you used to act. And you begin to put on Christ. You begin to learn his lingo. You begin to learn what pleases him. Amen. And you take off what does not please him. Well, the old you has to die every day. We must seek to kill some form of the flesh. What we want to do, how we want to do it. We have to take responsibility every day to nail it daily to the cross. Believe me, the flesh isn't going to go willingly. You're not just going to say, today I need you to sit over there and, I got to do this thing right now. I don't need you responding to nothing. And your flesh is going to be like, okay, I'll be good. I'll just sit over here. Oh, no, it's not. Mm-mm, the devil is a lie. It's going to raise up any way, every way it can to show that it's mastered over you. And for some of us, that is what our challenge is that our flesh has mastered us instead of us mastering it. He says, going back to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. I talked about what the will is, right? That will was to not be conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The rest of the scripture says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Ephesians 5 and 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, talking about the church now, the body of Christ, should be holy and without blemish. So the whole job is that we, when he comes, when Jesus comes back, he cracks the sky. Amen. That he's going to be looking for that church, that remnant within a remnant. That he presents the church back to himself, glorious. And God is doing that. He's already started the process from the beginning of time when he's spoken in his word up until now. God is going to make sure that he comes out on top. Everybody that started out with you isn't going to be there. However, there's some that we didn't think was ever going to make it are going to be there. But the bottom line is you make sure that you're there. Work out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. So don't get caught up in looking at everybody else talking about who's going to make it into the kingdom or not. You make sure when he calls the name on the roll, your name is on that roll. He's looking for a church. He's looking for a body. He's looking for a people. Yes, what he's coming back for, that will not have spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I remember I had a dream years ago. The Lord showed me a dream. I was looking at a woman. I was dressed in a beautiful, it was I myself actually. I was participating in it, but it really wasn't about me. I had a beautiful, gorgeous white wedding gown on, a gown that was specifically made, tailor-made for me, fit perfectly, and, you know, every, all my shape, whoever tailored it did an excellent, excellent job. But it was a dress that no one had ever seen or made before, seen in the world. It was made full of beautiful pearls. Amen. It was specially designed. It was a one-of-a-kind dress. And I had tailors that were down there that were still putting it together as I was wearing, being fitted for the dress. And they're still putting it together to the last minute. But then all of a sudden, I happened to look in the mirror, and I was looking at myself, and I was admiring how I looked. And all of a sudden, I see a stain on the dress. One stain. The rest of the dress looked absolutely magnificent, and it was impeccable. But there was one stain on the dress. And because of that one stain, the dress was not able, I couldn't wear it. It wasn't fit. I couldn't go out because everybody would have seen that stain. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this is how my church looks to me. He said, you can't have anything. You have to be immaculate from the top down. Every area, every position that I turn you in, I can't see anything. It must be pure. It must be white. It must be impeccable. It must be immaculate. It must be untouched. And any without spot or wrinkle or anything. There can be nothing. When the enemy comes, he cannot find nothing in us. That's why in this time that we're facing now must be a time that we need to cry back out, get on our faces. And I'm not talking about just coming to prayer every Tuesday or every Wednesday when the doors open. But I'm talking about even in your private time, this is the time that we're in now, that we need to cry out to God as though our very lives were at stake. And in reality, they are. We need to get into prayer where we just need to find ourselves in that place. You need to, Mrs. Men ought to always pray and not faint. You need to find yourself praying even when you don't realize you're praying. We must always keep that line of communication open with them. God just doesn't want to speak to you when you're here in the church house. He wants to speak to you in the everyday living, in your car, walking with your kids, taking a run, exercising, doing the business meeting. Amen. One-on-one conversations, laughing, talking with your friends. God wants to be in the middle of everything because you need to be ready for ministry at any point in time. Thank you. Okay, God. Basically, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. He wants us to be prepared so because he's going to begin sending people, amen, from out of nowhere that are going to be coming up to you in just everyday life. And you need to be able to have some power and anointing, A, to deliver the word to them, A, to lay hands and set them free, A, and thirdly, to lead them to Christ. We have to be prepared. We got to be prepared. You'll be sitting up there laughing and joking with your friends, and somebody's going to come up to you, amen, and you need to be ready to have a word for them. You need to be ready to be able to lay hands and touch and agree with them. You need to be able to demonstrate his power, his love, his anointing. You can't talk about, well, you know what, you need to come to my church on Sunday, and then we'll be able to deal with you. Uh-uh. Lives are at stake. They may not have till Sunday. They may have only what they got right now. And you need to be in that place with him. There's going to be places he'll lead you to. You don't even know why you're there. He's like, just wait on me. And you'll see people come and ask and inquire. And you have to be ready to demonstrate his glory. But you can only do that when you are completely locked in with him, tuned into his frequency. When you have a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of sanctification, a lifestyle of holiness, a willingness to be obedient, amen, no fear. Amen? That each of us should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Being integral. My husband always talks about, I don't want to ever give my word out. And I don't want to do something. I don't want to say that I'm going to do something and I can't do it. And that used to drive me up the wall in the early part of our marriage because I'm like, just tell them people whatever. Just get them out your face. It's no big deal. But you know what? According to the word of God that I just read you, it is a big deal. God holds us accountable for walking integral, amen, with people. To be honest with people. Let your yea be yea. Or let your yes be yes and your no be no. There's no in between. And we've lost that in Christendom. We lost that just in general in the world. The people will say, I'll do this for you and no, just have no intention on doing anything. But even more so, the house of God, we must be integral. We must be honored. We must walk in integrity, and our character must represent him at all times. Why? That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in a matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarn you and testify. For God did not call us to, verse 7, uncleanness, but holiness. Leviticus 11:44 says, For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy. For I am holy. Do you not know that we are a living sacrifice? Constantly, our life is sacrificed before. We're constantly, everything we say, we do, it goes up before him. What are you delivering before him? What fragrance is coming up before him when he looks at you? I'm going to leave it right there. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, I thank you and I praise you right now. I thank you for this word.
Father, help us right now to recognize that we must live a life that's sanctified and holy before you. Help us to begin to pursue, God. Help us to lay aside every weight. And I mean, God, really begin to look at this thing seriously and really begin to pursue you with everything that was within us to please you at all times. God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Now, if you're not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. I want to live for you. Serve you all my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. And we here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are believing and praying with you that God will lead you to a true Bible Spirit-led filled believing teaching ministry that's going to birth you, train you, and mature you into the things of God. Amen. Amen. Listen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Let me hear from you. Amen. If you need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, leave your prayer request there. We are praying and believing God for you. Amen. I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Join me again next week, Thursday night at 7 p.m. for another episode of Broadcast, A Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. And then join us on Tuesday with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Amen. Other than that, we'll see you for our live worship experience on Saturday at 9:30 and Sunday at 8:30. Be blessed. God loves you, and so do I.